in this series called An Ordinary Life. And so some of you haven't been with us the whole time and want to just give you the like one sentence or one statement about what we're talking about is that we are ordinary. Like we, in every aspect, we feel very ordinary. Our gifts are very ordinary. We don't feel like we're good enough for a lot of things. But God is extraordinary. And God wants to invade our ordinary with his extraordinary. And so we're talking about Moses and this guy in the Old Testament in Exodus who does these incredible things or sees God do incredible things in his life and how Moses sees himself as so ordinary and yet he gets to see so many extraordinary things that God does. But this morning, where we're going to sit this morning is we have a slight problem as we walk through this series is what happens when we hear about the extraordinariness of God, all right? So now follow me with this. When we hear about how powerful God is, that he can do anything, right? We read in Scripture that there's nothing outside of his control. There's nothing outside of his realm of possibility. He has done amazing things in Scripture over and over and over again. And then you hear this phrase that God is love, that he loves you and has a plan for you, and he wants to do extraordinary things in you and through you. And you hear these truths. But what happens when that is your expectation and you don't really feel like you're experiencing it? What happens when you hear about the awesomeness and power of God, and then you may even like go into a church like this and hear some stories about how awesome and powerful God is for other people, but when you get to look at your life right now where it's at, and you listen, some of you are coming this morning, you're walking into this space because your life, there's some places in your life that you want God to show up in. And so your first thought is, if I go to church, surely the extraordinariness of God can do something about that. Maybe it's your prayer. You know, you're like, I'm praying over something in my life that I know that God can do, but I'm not seeing it right now. What happens in us when we have expectations and God doesn't meet those? All right, so there was a book that my wife got. It may have been the first book that she has read start to finish, I don't know, since we were married at least. We got married, and then my wife decided that she wanted to have a child, right? And so as some of you people guys know, when your wife wants a child, that means that you have to start thinking about having a child. And so she was like, all right, we have to read this one book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. I don't know how. Should I even ask how many of you have read that book, watched the movie? Okay, a lot of you. My wife says, you need to read this book. I said, I know what to expect when we're expecting a child. That's all I need to know. At the end of 9 months, I don't need how to explain how this works. I kind of know how it works. I know how you make a baby, and then you wait 9 months, and you have a baby. I don't need to know the rest. But she's like, this is the most best book ever. It explains everything. And it walks through expectations you should have at various times through the pregnancy. So at this time, you should be experiencing like hormonal changes. You know, at this time, you should experience these like throwing up, the morning sickness, I guess is what they call it. At this point, you should experience the kicking of the baby. At this point, and it walks through. At this point, you should go to the hospital. At this point, don't go to the hospital yet because you look like a fool. It walks you through. This is what your husband should be doing at this point. And this is what your husband should be, what foods you should be getting, what foods don't get, and all these sort of what to expect. And what happens is, right, as you read this book, when you have unrealized expectations, all right, when it says you should be expecting something at 6 months, when you're at 5 months, 3 days, and it's not happening, you're getting nervous, right? Because your child is always the best child. Even in vitro, your child is the best child, right? It's so they must be ahead of the game. But when you're not experiencing that kicking at the right moment, so you get worried. You get like, man, this is not the way it should be. There's something wrong. I got to go see the doctor right away. All right, so we all have expectations. You have come in this morning to the church with some sort of expectation, whether you've been here before and you're like, I know what to expect, and you're like, that's probably what we're going to expect again, or whether this is your first time and you have very low expectations of what a church should be. You have some sort of view of what's going to happen here this morning. You, after this, some of you are going out to dinner. And you'll stop in at McDonald's, and you have a view of what fast food should feel like, taste like, and how fast you should get it, right? There's an expectation. If you go into Texas Roadhouse, because it has the word Texas in it, it should have steak somewhere connected. You have expectations. When you say, I want a medium rare steak, you have expectations of what that means. What, like, we have expectations all through our life. When you get married and you start thinking about what's going to happen over the next 50 years of life, you have expectations, whether it's stated or unstated. A lot of times in premarital counseling, you're walking through with couples of the unwritten expectations that you have of each other, because you all understand that happens, right? You have things that you've never talked about, but that you expect of the other person. Like, you know, you have expectations of what's the marriage is going to be like. Because it's not going to be all like roses. There comes moments in your marriage or in life when your expectations aren't met. Like, you wake up next to your wife one day and you realize that she doesn't naturally look what she looked like when you were dating. Like, there's hours of work that goes into it. There's this expectation. Like, wake up and you're like, all right, we have to have dinner tonight. Oh, my parents aren't around anymore, so they can't fix it for me. Somebody in the house has to fix it. There's an expectation. Someone's expecting the other person to do it. The house needs to be cleaned. Who does that? There's expectations involved. But I want to walk through these words before we get to Exodus of what happens when expectations aren't met. All right, so when you have expectations, you have this word called hope. And the words will be on the screen. You can write them down. Hope is this, like, this excitedness about what you're looking forward to. That's you have expectations for a movie. You have a hope for the movie. You have expectations for a marriage. You have expectations for a job. You have hope that you're going to it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a positive thing. And then when you don't see that working out, when your expectations aren't met, it leads to this thing called frustration, right? When you have this, when you go to McDonald's for fast food and it's not fast, it leaves you frustrated. When you order a steak at Texas Roadhouse and it's not medium rare and it's something else, it leads you to frustration. When we have unrealized expectations, it will lead to frustration. And then when frustration starts building in us, it will lead toward doubt. Like, why did I come here? Why did I eat? Why did I want fast food anyway? Like, I had to be someplace. Why did I get married? Why did I choose him? Why did I choose her? Why? You know, you start doubting whether this is really what you were going to step into. You start doubting. Then you step from doubting to disillusionment. You know, disillusionment is this. So you start the frustration starting to build, and you're starting to doubt it, and then all of a sudden you're like, I've been lied to. I've been sold a bill of rights. You know, there's someone that's doing me wrong. There's a injustice that stirs in you. Does it make sense? The lens is taken off, and you're like, you're disillusioned by whatever it is that you're involved in. So you may be disillusioned in marriage, may be disillusioned at your job. But what we're talking about this morning is this idea of when God doesn't meet your expectations, and we start walking through frustration with God, and then doubt of God, and then disillusionment that he's lying to us, that he's not who he says he is, he's not what he said he's going to do, he's not living up to his side of the story, then eventually it leads to this idea of quitting. I'm done. I'm done. I'm tapping out. I'm tapping out of this job. I'm tapping out of this religion, this church thing, because God isn't who he said he is. All right, so let me go to Moses. We've been walking through this guy, and God's like, when he's 80 years old, he sees this burning bush. God appears to him, talks to him. He's like, I want you to lead Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. And you know that over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how Moses wrestled with it. I don't want to, God. I don't want to do that. I'm not smart enough. I don't speak well enough. They're not going to listen to me. And finally, Moses, it's like, all right, I'll go. All right. And then now Moses starts writing the expectation. Because this is what we do. What we feel like when we step toward God or what he wants us to do, at that point we have done enough for God to do his extraordinariness. Does that make sense? So when we step in faith and we do what he asks us to do, he should show up right away. I mean, that's what our expectation, that's what we want to happen is like, all right, we're going to write this story for God. because we're smarter than God. So we're like, all right, God, I'll step, and then I'm going to tell you how this should work out. And these are the five magical things, extraordinary things that I want you to do along this journey to the promised land. This should be easy. This is what we think. The hard part is the step. The easy part is allowing God to do his thing. All right, so let me get into to Moses, chapter 4, and then verse 29 and 30. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites. So he starts, he said, all right, we're going to do this. I need to talk to all the leaders of the Israelites. And Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people. And listen to this phrase. You can underline this if you have your Bibles open. And they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and they worshiped. Great. Isn't that a great picture? If we could end there, wouldn't that be like Israel, like Moses had all this doubt whether they'd listen to him. And all of a sudden they're like, woohoo, that sounds great. God cares about us. God's going to show up and lead us to the promised land. I can't wait for this to happen. They bow down. They like are humbled by that God even cares about them. And they worship. They adore. God, you are so great. You know, you are so amazing. I can't wait to see how you're going to kind of prove yourself to Pharaoh. And then Moses goes to Pharaoh. And so he has this idea of probably how this is going to work out. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know this guy. I will not let Israel go. So Moses and Aaron do it again. They ask again, say, no, we want to go out. We want to worship. And the king of Egypt says, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. And so what happens is, over the next few verses, Pharaoh sees this invitation, and all of a sudden he's like, you know what? They think they're in control. I'll show them. And so then he makes them do double the work. He's like, I'm not going to provide any more straw for you. You have the same quota of bricks that you had before, but now you have to get your own straw. So now it's getting harder for him. And if you don't fulfill your quota, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get beaten. Look at verse 14. Says, and Pharaoh's slaves, drivers, physically beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today? But God, do you get where we're going this morning? But God, you said if I stepped out in faith, you would help me lead the Israelites to the promised land. My plan was not for it to get harder. My plan was not for them to do more work. My plan was for Pharaoh to say yes. We figure out some logistics of how to get a million people across the desert, and we go. I was not planning. The expectation was not for it to be almost impossible, like to get harder. This is what happens. Over in chapter 5, verse 19, the Israelites, overseers, realized they were in trouble. The people are starting to be like, this is not looking good. You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh, and his officials have put a sword in their hand to kill us. They go back to, now, look at the contrast, all right? Do you guys see the contrast? At one moment, Moses and Pharaoh go in and they're worshiping. Oh, how great is our God. You know, singing these praise songs on their knees in humility. And like a few moments later, I don't know, maybe a day later, they're like, you, Moses, are an idiot. I can't believe you're making this happen. This is terrible. How did we ever trust you? How did we ever believe in you? And then Moses starts self-doubting. Look what happens next. Chapter 6, verse 1. Or chapter 5, verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on the people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Do you hear the process? Moses finally taps out and steps into his calling. It's like, all right, God, I'm ready. I can do it. He has expectations of how God's going to do it. And all of a sudden, it's not working out that way. Frustration is setting in. You ever gone to a store and put like a kid's toy together, and you have these directions, and things don't fit together, the way it looks like in the picture. Like, you watch a YouTube video of how simple something is, and it takes 30 seconds, and you have to watch the same video 40 times to get the same deal going. Like, there's frustration when you have someone saying it's easy, and it's not. There's a frustration that builds. I'm just telling you that when we walk in this church, when we walk with God, and he asks us to do something, sometimes there are times that we get frustrated with him, that he's God. You're powerful. Like, you can do crazy things. You can part the Red Sea. You can, I don't know. There's a long litany of things you can do. Why does it have to get hard? There's frustration. You can hear the frustration building with the Israelites and with Moses. And then it leads to this whole idea of doubt. Do you see the doubt in Moses? God, did you really want me to come out here? God, is this really the direction you wanted me to turn? God, this is not it. This is not, what in the world, God? Did we really meet in the desert? And then it leads to what? Disillusionment with Moses. He's like, I don't know if you are who you say you are. I don't know if you're going to do what you say you're going to do. I am just, this is not right. The people are complaining. I didn't want to do this in the beginning. You kind of forced me into it, God. I just eventually had to say yes, and you're not fulfilling your side of the deal. And you know what I think Moses wants to do at the end of the day? This is what I would want to do. This is what I want to do sometimes. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to keep fighting these battles. I thought that when I decided to follow you, when I decided to come to church, when I decided to read the Bible, when I decided to pray, that when I did what you wanted me to do, you would like line everything up and it'd be good. But let me walk to a different scripture to you, John chapter 16. Because what we have to do, we have to reset our expectations really according to what God has said to us. Okay, it's behind me. Don't read the whole thing, all right? Don't jump ahead of me. Let me walk verse by verse, phrase by phrase with you. This is what it says. I have told you these things. This is Jesus talking. All right, he's talking to his disciples. So that in me you may have peace. Just stop. Pause for a second on that. Isn't that a great verse? And if we could just pick that verse out. Don't read on to the next phrase. And a lot of us do. We're like, man, do you see what God promises? He promises peace, you know, and peace is this idea of shalom, things functioning well, that our expectations should be like, man, God, you're gonna bring peace in my life. You're going to bring wholeness to my life. God, that sounds so cool. It sounds so amazing. I can't wait to step into that. Oh, and a lot of people in a lot of churches stop there. But there's more to what Jesus said. You want to know what the next phrase says? In this world, you will have trouble. Let me just lay some expectations out for you. Let me just lay out what the truth of the matter is. Yes, I have come that you may have peace, right? I want you to have peace. But understand this. This journey with God, I am extraordinary, but I don't promise that the whole journey from beginning to end is going to be easy. You, look at the word, you not might have trouble. You will have trouble. Our expectation should be that things aren't going to be easy. There's going to be struggle. There's going to be struggle in our marriages. There's going to be struggle in our work. There's going to be struggle in our following of what God wants us to do. There's a battle that goes on. There's a wrestling match sometimes. But when we expect it not to be challenging, when we expect it to be challenging, we can hold on to the last part too, right? When we in this world, there will be trouble. That's what it says. But take heart. Take courage. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Don't quit on me. Don't quit on me when it gets tough. Don't give up. Don't give up too early. Don't like tap out, because I have overcome the world. Let me just tell you what he says. In this world, you will have trouble. There'll be times that you will doubt. There'll be times that you have frustration. There are times that things will not work out according to your plan. But he says two things. He says, in the midst of it, I am going to provide you peace. I'm going to provide you a calmness, a like, I got it. And understand, at the end of the story, when I wrap this up, I will be extraordinary. See, you know what I think? I think we have a world full of people who have quit too early. Do you know what I mean? We have a world full of people who have gone through this cycle of frustration and doubt and gone to disillusionment, and they got to the point of like, I don't want to do this. I think we have a world full of people who are walking spiritually that way. At some place along their journey, some place along the line, they thought God was going to do something, and he didn't do it according to their plan and according to their timing, and they're like, I'm out, God. I'm done. But let me just tell you what Moses would have missed if he tapped out then. He first of all would have missed all the next 40 years of all the incredible things that God did. But even more than that, as you read what happens in Exodus through Deuteronomy, what I get is this guy who has deep connection with his father. He meets him in the tent of meeting. In fact, the Bible says he is God's friend. Right? He has, not only does he see God's power, but he has this deep relationship with him. And in the midst of it being tough and difficult and tiring and frustrating, and there are times that did I even step the right direction? I'm not going to quit because I'm going to hang on. I'm going to keep going because I think God will overcome. God will show off to be extraordinary in our life. See, I know I went to Bible college, and we were just talking about this morning. How many people in Bible quit when it got tough? They stopped when it got tough. And they, whether that was, maybe God directed them that way, and that's fine. But I'm guessing not all of them did. And they missed what God could have done through them over time. This is where I'm at this morning. I think some of you are there. I don't know in what area of your life, but you had expectations of what God should have done in your life. And they didn't work out your way. God didn't follow your plan. And now you're walking this journey of doubt and disillusionment. And quick, let me just tell you what God answered. Just real quick, how he responded to Moses. Number one says, then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do. Let me just tell you something. God's timing is not your timing. Do you ever notice, maybe it's just me, but God's a whole lot slower than me. Like, I have a plan, and I know how this should work, and I'm more of a fast food person than that whole sit down for 3 hours at this restaurant overseas that you're, it's an all-day experience. You know, I'm more of like, let's get it done. God is more of a simmerer. He's more of a crock pot person. You know what I mean? Like God does it on his home time. He says, listen, you thought you had the timing. Now, just wait for my timing. I will be extraordinary when I'm extraordinary, but it might get difficult, more difficult first, but wait for my timing. Then he says this over in the next verse, verse 2. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. do you know what that means? This means you're not. You have no idea what you're doing. The word Lord has so much like meaning to it. It had power to it. It had authority to it. It had all knowingness with it. He knows what he's doing. And what I encourage you this morning is in that journey, we all get there. We all have doubt. All right. And I'm not, listen, don't feel guilty about that doubt. That doubt has played out over and over in people's stories in Scripture. I think we bring our doubt to God. But we all get frustrated. We all have disillusionment. We're all like, is this really what I signed for? Is this it? But the one thing I will not do, I don't want to do, is I don't want to tap out. I'm not quitting, because I believe the more I hang on to what God wants for me, no matter how the journey plays out, does that make sense? No matter how difficult it gets, if I can just hang on, if I can just keep going, if I can just go one foot out in front of the other, if I can just keep obeying, that God will eventually show up in extraordinariness. God will show up in power. God will show up in his wisdom. But too many of us are like, I'm out. This morning, this is where we wanted to, we've been walking through this thing of prayer, right? We want you to pray. And I thought we'd do it a little different this morning. The worship team, Melissa's going to come up and like I said in the first service, do what she does, whatever she does. Play a little keyboard for us. I want to pray over you this morning. Because again, my guess is, what I believe is many of you are someplace in that spectrum. There are places in your life that you are just about ready to quit on. There are places in your life that you're doubting. Did you know that there's this guy named John the Baptist? And John the Baptist was this guy that God, Jesus said, and if you ever want to see someone that you should model after, like the greatest guy on the earth. Now this is, Jesus said, the greatest man that ever walked the earth is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is the guy who says, hey, look, the Lamb of God. Like there's the one who's going to rescue us. He talked about saving the people. And there comes a point in John's life where he's in prison arrested. And he sees the writing on the wall that the king didn't like him. In fact, that he's probably going to lose his head at some point. Literally, he did lose his head. And he's sitting there looking at Jesus doing his ministry, looking at him and where he thought he was supposed to be, not in jail, and he sends his disciples, say, hey, can you guys do something for me? I know a few years ago I said, there's the Lamb of God, but I have a few questions now. And he sends them, he says, Jesus, are you the one, or should I expect someone else? This is the greatest man that ever walked the earth who is, he's like, God, this is not the story that I wrote. Jesus, you know, and this is how Jesus responds to him. Jesus was supposed to heal. Jesus was supposed to heal the blind, to take away leprosy. And then there's this part that says to release the prisoner. And Jesus is like, that's not my story for you. And what I'm trying to tell you is, if John the Baptist can be frustrated and doubt at times, should that not give us freedom at times to be like, God, I don't want to get this? That it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be like, God, I don't understand. I thought you said, you know what the Psalms are? The book of Psalms. This 150 chapters of Psalms. Aren't a lot of them this angst of David? Like, David's like, God, this is not the way I planned it. This is not the way I had written my story. This is tough. I'm angry with you. You're thinking about Joseph in prison for however many years? You don't think there are times that he's walking through this journey of, God, this is not what I expected when you appeared to me when I was 16 years old. And you told me I'd be a leader. I didn't expect to be in jail. I didn't expect to be falsely accused. What I'm telling you is this journey that we're talking about this morning is all the way through Scripture. Almost every person I see God uses, they walk through this thing of like, I had expectations. And then they didn't come, I didn't see you work that way. And then there's this like frustration rising in them. Then there's this doubt of, God, are you even real anymore? And then there's this disillusionment. But they didn't quit. They didn't quit. They kept being faithful. They kept stepping. They kept going. I want to pray over you this morning because I know that some of you are facing some very difficult things. And you're like, this is not the story I wrote. This is not the plan that I had when I started coming back to church. This is not the way I wanted God to answer my prayers. And I wish I had three easy steps for you this morning. Do these three things, and everything would be all wiped away. God would, like, do these three things, and God will show up the way you want him to show up. You know, I wish I had that for you. All I have for you this morning is we have to trust. He says, I am the Lord. And I don't have like a magic formula how you get through it. You just keep going and you keep trusting and you keep believing. And you say, God, you are who you say you are. And this story that you're writing is an extraordinary story. And whether I see it or not, whether it's in my lifetime or not, I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to seek you. I'm still going to pursue you. I have angst. I have frustration. But you're God, and I am not. So can you just do this for me? Can you close your eyes for a little bit of time? I want to just take some time to pray over where you're at this morning. My guess in this room, there are some people who are about ready to tap out on God. They're frustrated with the story that he's right. Maybe you're in the disillusionment stage. You're like, God, you lied to me. Or maybe you've already tapped out and you're only here because someone forced you to be here this morning. Can I just pray over you? Is there anyone in the room that has that? They're just like, man, God, I'm just doubting you. I'm just frustrated with you. This is not the way I planned it. Is there anyone that wants to raise their hand so I can just pray over you this morning? God, I look over this room of people who had expectation of their life, expectation of the stories that you were going to write for them, and this is not the story they had planned. There's frustration in it. There's even anger. So God, what I pray is their peace right now, your peace, in their life, that in the midst of their story, in the midst of not understanding where you're going next or what you're doing, that you will still be God, that they can still trust you, that you say your peace that passes all understanding can guard their hearts and minds. So I pray that over them this morning, that they won't tap out on you, that they'll realize that in this world there is trouble, but you have overcome. You have overcome, that you will overcome, that you will win the victory at some point. So God, I pray this in their life. Don't open your eyes yet. There is some in here this morning, relationally. Maybe marriage-wise, maybe friendship-wise, that you're walking on a journey and this is not the story you wrote. This is not what you had expected. Can I just pray over you this morning? Is there anyone there in their marriages that I can just pray over? You're just like, this is not what I signed up for. And I'm doubting it. And I need strength. I need wisdom. Let me pray over you. God, of all places in our life, we have expectations for our marriage, for what is going to be the happily ever after. That when we get married, we sign the dotted line, we say I do, and it's going to be all easy. But the reality is it's not. It's a struggle. It's a battle. And there are times there's a lot of frustration, a lot of doubt. And I just want to pray over these marriages, these couples, these people in here who are by themselves. I pray for wisdom. I pray for direction. I pray for the story to be written out in a powerful way in their life, that you will show off your extraordinariness at some point in this journey. God, may you walk beside them. May they know that they're loved, that their identity is not in their marriage, but in their relationship with you. May you be enough. May they place their trust in you. Just one more this morning as we pray. There are people who are following the calling of God in their life. They have stepped in faith. You have provided leadership, maybe here at the church or someplace else. You have gone where God has wanted you to go, and it hasn't turned out the way you thought it would. The lives haven't been transformed like you thought it would. Like the ministry didn't turn out the way it was supposed to. Like there's a frustration in living out that calling and that place that God has designed you for. You thought it would be easy, and it's been anything but. It's been a dark time. It's been frustrating. And you want to be done with it. You want to tap out. Is there anyone there this morning? You're trying to do the right thing, maybe at your job, just in your ministry, and you're just tired. Can I just pray over you, God? Your calling is what we hang on to. Not the results of the ministry, not the results of what we do, but our faithfulness, our step-by-step just trusting that you have asked us to do this and we're going to keep doing it no matter the results, no matter the people, what people say, no matter the frustration, because we want to follow you. God, we don't want to quit too early. Our greatest results, maybe next year, it may be 5 years down the road, it may be after we leave, but we keep stepping. We keep being faithful over and over. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. Help us to hang on. God, in all this, we pray. We pray that this is through your power, through your greatness, that you will receive all the honor for our stories that you're writing, that it may be difficult now, that there's something greater coming. We pray that your power that was on display when you rose from the dead will be on display in our life. I pray your greatness in our stories, even though it's tough now. God, do what you will. You are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.